We want to begin this hour with two major decisions from the Supreme Court, the first of which touches nearly every American and the technology that's come to define our lives and fill our pockets. In a unanimous decision from the court today, the justices ruled that police cannot search cell phones without obtaining a warrant. Now, that decision was issued on two cases. One involved a man named David Riley, who was pulled over for driving with expired tags in San Diego. Police found guns under the hood of his car and searched his cell phone, which led them to believe he was involved in gang activity. In the other case, Boston police used call logs from an arrested woman's flip phone as evidence against her in a drug-related crime case. As the case went to court, we spoke with Philadelphia Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey, who argued for why police need the ability to search cell phones without obtaining a warrant.
Whether it's video, whether it's phone numbers, text messages, whatever, it is technology that we have to deal with on a regular basis now in today's world. I realize that there's personal information in smartphones, but when we do make an arrest, it is very, very important that we be able to have access to information that would lead us to a criminal conviction in a particular case.
Well, the justices today disagreed, and they disagreed unanimously. Joining us now is privacy law expert Peter Swire. He's a professor of law and ethics at Georgia Tech and one of five members of President Obama's review group on NSA surveillance. Professor, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Well, the language of the ruling, Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the court. I'll read part of the text because it's pretty plain. Our answer to the question of what police must do before searching a cell phone seized incident to an arrest is accordingly simple. Get a warrant.
And the need for a clear rule is something that all nine justices clearly thought was important. This is something every cop on the street will understand, and it changes practice across the country immediately.
Now, part of the question here was whether a cell phone in someone's pocket is like anything else in your pocket. You know, if they take a piece of paper out of your pocket, police can search you when you're arrested. But the court has said a cell phone isn't the same thing as the other stuff that's on your person.
No, a cell phone is small physically, but it's absolutely enormous when it comes to the data that it holds. So it's not like that little piece of paper that might have a phone number on it or a name on it. It's everything in your life for the last bunch of years. And I think the Supreme Court has now gotten comfortable with its own understanding of technology to realize it's not just a phone or just a small thing physically on your body. But when it comes to tracking your location, when it comes to email, when it comes today to cell phones, the courts are really shifting to more scrutiny of police practices. The courts are more willing to bring the Fourth Amendment up to date now.
And I want to ask you about that in the context of the Fourth Amendment a little bit, because you're a privacy surveillance expert as well. Now, when the cops arrest you on the roadside and take your iPhone out of your pocket, that's not surveillance in the same sense as NSA surveillance. Does this ruling tell us anything about that other thing you just mentioned, tracking locations, using the technology, the cell phone, to search you?
I think it does not specifically say that in the court's opinion, but there has been, I think, a major shift in the Supreme Court jurisprudence. The first sign of that was a case a couple of years ago called U.S. versus Jones, where the Supreme Court said if the government sticks a tracking device on your car for a month, you need a warrant to do that, even though that car was out in public the whole time. And that was 9-0, and today's 9-0. And we have the lower courts now saying that emails deserve a warrant and saying that the location of your cell phone deserves a warrant. And these cases are coming up next to the Supreme Court probably in the next year or two.
Now, what about the police in the case of an arrest? How does this affect them now that they can't open up the iPhone, the cell phone, and search it?
Well, it's a lot like a locked trunk in your car. They can go get a warrant and then they can get in if the judge believes it's appropriate. Or if there's what's called exigent circumstances, if there's an emergency, if it turns out that we think this person's using their phone as an IED device exploder, then you can get the phone away from them and you can try to make sure the IED doesn't go off. That would be a clear example. And cell phones are used that way in the Middle East and in other places. So if something's going to get blown up, the cops can do it. If the cops go and seize it and they don't have exigent circumstances, they run the risk of not being able to use the evidence in court. So police face a real incentive to follow the rules and get a warrant now.
And before we let you go, Professor Swire, this may sound like a pedestrian question, but because this ruling was about cell phones, which the court said aren't really phones anymore but computers, what does this mean for my iPad, which has no phone function but is a computer just the same? I might have it in my car.
I think that the logic here is that there's plenty of time for the police to get a warrant if they seize your iPad. And any reasonable police officer is probably going to need to get that warrant before looking around inside your iPad or inside the laptop computer.
Well, the court says it today, and they say it very clearly. Police, if you want to search a cell phone during an arrest, it's simple. Get a warrant. Peter Swire is professor of law and ethics at Georgia Tech and one of the five members of President Obama's review group on NSA surveillance. Professor, thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
Let's turn now to a second big ruling handed down by the court today. It's a ruling against internet service Aereo. In a major victory for the big TV broadcasters, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that Aereo violates the Copyright Act. Now, Aereo is a streaming television startup that lets customers watch broadcast TV on mobile devices, tablets, and computers through a monthly subscription. Now, in lieu of a physical antenna, subscribers can watch broadcast television through Aereo and record shows on a virtual DVR player. It's basically a tiny antenna that scoops signals out of the air and puts them on your device. Well, you can imagine that broadcasters, including Walt Disney Corporation, Comcast, NBC, CBS, and 21st Century Fox, argued that Aereo was using their programming without authorization in violation of exclusive rights to the public performance of their work, and that means they weren't paying for it. So for more on the story, I want to welcome Bob Garfield, host of On the Media, which is made by our co-producer WNYC, and he's here with me. Hi, Bob.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Surprised by the ruling?
No, I am so not surprised by this ruling. Aereo's business was based on a technological loophole. They couldn't have set up a big whopping antenna and scooped all of the signals off of the air and then redistributed them online. But what they did was, because that's theft, right? That
right.
is theft of copyrighted material. And they would have had to pay retransmission fees to the broadcasters in order to do that. So to get around paying the retransmission fees, they set up a drazillion itsy-bitsy little antennas. And essentially, they are an antenna rental service. And if you subscribe, you get one of these itsy-bitsy little antennas assigned only to you for the portion of time that you are streaming programming. And they say to the big broadcasters and cable companies, oh, no, we're not scooping up and retransmitting. We're just letting individuals have access to an antenna to do with what they will. And the Supreme Court said, that's just a loophole. You're stealing. Stop it.
And you're not allowed to do that. Now, the whole point of this business model that exists between the cable providers and the content providers is if cable wants to take a CBS show and pipe it through the cable to your TV, they pay for that. In fact, they have to put it on their cable service. But this is the exact point that Aereo was circumventing.
Exactly. And you have to understand that both cable and broadcast depend on that for their life's blood, because broadcasters, their advertising revenue is dipping because their audiences are shrinking so much. These retransmission fees is keeping networks and local TV stations alive, and of course cable is marking it up and gouging you with your monthly cable bill. That's why your cable bill is more than $100 often every month. This enabled consumers to circumvent cable altogether, which was taking money from the pockets of big TV, big broadcast, and big cable. And had the court ruled otherwise, that would have been one of the last nails in the coffin of big TV. Now it looks like it'll be one of the only nail in the coffin of Aereo. I don't see that it has a future.
And I saw an Aereo investor on television just a few minutes ago basically saying it's over.
Was he sobbing?
He might have been expecting it too, just like you.
Yeah, yeah. On our show, we confronted the founder of this and said, "Yeah, I know it's an individual antenna, but tell me again why this isn't theft."
Right.
And he never could directly answer that question, which was his problem in front of the court.
Now, you said if this ruling had gone the other way, it would be a final nail in the coffin. But quickly before we go, what does this really say? You know, we've been talking about the merger between content providers and cable, saying that may jack rates up. A lot of critics are nervous about that. Does this say anything about the future of rates if those cable rates are still so high and here's more competition that's been killed?
I don't know much about the world. Cable rates will always go up, period.
And that won't surprise you either when it does.
No. That's not that tall.
That's Bob Garfield. He's host of On the Media, helping us understand the Supreme Court 6-3 decision today against antenna provider, no, content stealer, Aereo.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.